Usually during Christmas, you're going to hear messages about peace, love, and joy. But the reality of Christmas is that many times we feel disbelief, loss, and anxiety. With Houston First Church of God, we're going to get together and talk about how we really feel during Christmas. And we're going to talk about how Jesus can absolutely change our reality. Hi, I'm Tim, and I'm the pastor of the Houston First Church of God. And I want to invite you to come and experience the reality of Christmas with HFC.
Amen. Praise God. Hi, I'm Tim, and I'm the pastor of the Houston First Church of God, and it's so good to be here with you. You might think like, well, pastor, like I've been seeing you for a little while now. Of course I know that your name and everything. Well, that's because that video wasn't made for you. All right? You're going to notice on all of our social stuff and everything, you're going to see that video and another like selfie video that I did and everything. Those are resources that we're producing so that you can invite people to come and be a part of what God is doing here with HFC. And so we're glad you're here. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm super glad that I get to see you and that we get to dive into God's word here together. But we also all have people that we know need to hear about hope and truth and life. Right? And what better time than during this Christmas season that we can share that with them? And so I hope that you'll have an opportunity where you can begin to invite others to be a part of what God is doing here. As we were talking about there, this whole series here is really just to look at like not just the sort of the front that we put on for Christmas sometimes of all, you know, everything is together and our families are great and peace, love, and joy and all the stuff. But the reality is that a lot of times we have some stuff like going on, and we as a church need to be able to talk about that. We need to be able to speak the good news of Jesus into that. And so that's what we're endeavoring to do. Today what we're going to look at is how anxiety actually impacts the holidays, right? Well, maybe, for me anyway, maybe not for you. Like, I'm sure, like, as you get closer and closer to Christmas, you probably don't get stressed out at all or anything like that or whatever. But just in case you might know somebody who does, we're gonna kind of talk through some of this. So in my family, we started a tradition several years ago. And in fact, I'm trying to remember, like, how young the kids were. I think Isaiah, I think, was like 2 at the time, so Daniel would have been 4, Liliana was 5, so really, really young, and we had gotten the kids some gifts. I believe it was actually 2 different beds, right, for Christmas, right? I actually built one of them, and everything was really cool, never did anything like that before, and it's like it's still standing, which is amazing enough. But like for the boys in particular, we had these new beds and they were getting them for Christmas. It was going to be this big thing, but obviously they couldn't sleep in their beds, right? And then wake up Christmas morning and be like, "Hey, Merry Christmas!" Right? So we started this tradition where the kids would sleep in our room, right, on Christmas Eve. Right? And they would get all their like sleeping bags and whatever, and they're sleeping on the floor in Mama Papa's room, and like it's a whole thing, and then they just talk to each other for like an hour until we just like, "Go to sleep already," right? And then like once they're asleep, because we can't really do it before they're asleep, but then once they're asleep, then assembly begins, right? And this is where the devil shows up, right? Right, because if you've ever had to assemble stuff, like I remember one time, like I don't even remember which of the boys it was. There was this like Hot Wheels garage thing, and there were only like a billion parts to it, right? And of course, like you can't find the one that you need, and like that particular, it's just crazy. And so that particular year, like I'm building the beds and everything, and I'm trying to like put them together in a way that isn't waking them up downstairs. And then of course, like with one of them, like I'm missing a screw somewhere, and so I got to try to figure out like how in the world am I going to make this bed so they don't actually like fall out of it and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just telling you, like it's a great, like my kids still sleep on my floor on Christmas Eve. Like, it's a really cool kind of tradition and everything like that or whatever. The reason for that is because I have put myself in positions of great anxiety, right? Every Christmas Eve, like, there's something that has to be put together, something that has to be built, something that has to be done. And of course, like, you don't start this at like 2 p.m, right? Because they're all awake and everything. You got to wait until they're asleep, which is super late. Then you're up until who knows how long. And then you got to get up the next morning because they had a really good night's sleep on your floor and they're ready to go for Christmas, right? Like, the anxiety is just too much, right? Reality is, I think we kind of experience that in a lot of different ways, even through the holiday season there, right? So you might go shopping, and that can be a whole thing all to itself right there. But for some of us, the reality is that even shopping is not that great of an experience because we can't really afford the things that we'd really like to get. And so then it's like, what do we do there? And you feel that tension of like what I want to do and what I'm able to do, right? We plan gatherings and how awesome it is that we can get together with others and like with family and stuff. But then you know that you have to invite that one high maintenance family member to be there too, right? And you just like you just feel that in your gut, even when you have to send out that invitation, like, oh yeah, he's going to come. It's okay. I'm usually that guy. So that's why, that's why I can use that illustration. It's personal. Even in terms of just meeting together with other people, right? Maybe even in a worship service or a company party or something like that. Like, those kind of things could be fun. But then even there's just like the general awkwardness of talking to random people about common things that don't really matter at all, right? And you're just like, well, what do I even say here? Like, what am I coming up with? I mean, again, if we're being honest, the church calendar, while we have a lot of great things that we have to offer, and man, heard some really great stuff about like women's brunch yesterday, and I mean, that's just sort of kicking off. We even this past Wednesday, we had My Tribe here and Jason David. It was awesome worship event together. Like, these are all great things that we have, and there's several other things to come. You can find more information about that in the lobby, by the way. But wanting to be super involved in all of those things also means feeling kind of torn and maybe like, because you can't do everything. And so what do you do? What do you not do? Like, I don't want to offend anybody, but if I do everything, then I'm worn out and I don't really have, like, I'm too worn out to actually hear from God because I'm doing all the church stuff. Right? I mean, again, let's just be real about this, right? And so What we want to talk about today, and what we want to look into today is how can we, like, just be honest about how we're feeling, particularly during this season of Christmas, and then how can the gospel actually speak into that? Like, where can we find peace? Where can Jesus, like, change our reality even as we are dealing with these different things? So pray with me, and then we're gonna jump into Luke chapter 2 here in just a moment. But before we do that, if you would, pray with me. God, thanks so much for the opportunity to be together today. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here among us. We thank you, God, for your holy word. And God, I thank you that you desire to speak into our lives even right now. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that my words would be your words, God, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, Father, that your Holy Spirit would motivate us and just stir us up in such a way, God, that we would desire to walk in obedience with you, God, that we would desire to say yes to you, however it is that you might be challenging us, Lord. We just submit ourselves to you in this time. Help us to hear, help us to receive, and help us to respond. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 2. I want to read for you just verses 1 through 7. And again, if you're in a community group, you're going to be talking through some of these things too. This is not the entire Christmas story. So when we get to the end, you're going to be like, oh, but what about the shepherds? We'll come back to that. Don't worry. Like, it'll be all right. And so Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So what I want us to recognize, and again, is sometimes it's so hard because we read stories like this, and we're like, oh, the Christmas story, like, oh, that's so cute, that's awesome, I love Christmas, right? But I don't know that we always really get, like, what's in it, you know what I'm saying? So, like, one of the things that we need to recognize here is that the default position of life, and this is going to sound like bad news, but stick around with me for a minute here. The default position of life is not peace. Maybe you've experienced this for yourself in one way or another. Maybe you lived a day or two without Jesus, right? Maybe you lived a day or two outside of a relationship with God. But what we can all recognize and understand is that the default position of life in general, outside of whatever Christ and the Holy Spirit might be doing in our lives, the default position of life is not peace. And we see this even in Mary and Joseph here, right? I mean, think about it. They're having a baby that of which they are not yet married, right? So, just do some shame calculations on that for a little while, right? Not only are they're having this baby in a place that is brand new to them, right? They hadn't been in Bethlehem for very long. We don't know exactly how long. It just says while they were there. And, by the way, they're homeless, right? So, I mean, just imagine you or someone in your family is having a baby, right? And at the same time, they also have nowhere to live, except maybe, you know, the local stables or a cave or whatever like that. Like, I would imagine, like, if that's you in that situation, whether you are the one having the baby or maybe you're the husband or you're whatever like that, like, I would imagine that would probably cause a little bit of anxiety, like wondering, like, what in the world is going on with my family here? Like, this is not where we're supposed to be. Like, didn't God tell me this is supposed to be his son? Like we should be in palaces. We should at least have some kind of decent house here. Like, there should be more fanfare with all of this. What, like, Lord, you told me this, that this baby who we're supposed to name Jesus is supposed to be your son. How come we're living out here and he's got to be in a manger, right? I can't imagine the kind of anxiety actually that Joseph and Mary might have been experiencing. Now, it's interesting, the Bible doesn't speak to like their level of stress in all of this, right? But I would have to imagine that there was some inner turmoil there. There was some struggle there. Like their default position of life was not peace. Even in the birth of this child. And it, for me, it just kind of makes me wonder, like, wasn't he supposed to be the Prince of Peace? Right? Like, in Isaiah, in fact, in Isaiah chapter 9, and in verse 6, it says, let me start here. Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Like, didn't God see this back in Isaiah, right? Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. And from that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Like, woo! Like, isn't that incredibly amazing to hear about all that God is going to be doing in the Savior that is to come? And now we see him here, and he's in a manger? Like, that don't sound like the Prince of Peace to me, right? And then what's really crazy about this is, like, if you look back into, like, verses 2 through 5 in Isaiah chapter 9, so 6 and 7 are all the stuff that we put on our Christmas cards, right? And it'll have, like, a nice little picture in the background that has, like, you know, glitter and stuff like that on it, and it's awesome and everything. What they don't put in the Christmas card is verses 2 through 5, right? Because there it talks about how the people of Israel were in a great darkness. It talked about the burden and the yoke of oppression and slavery that they were under. It this will probably make your Christmas card next year. It also talks about the blood-rolled garments, right, that they have because of the oppression in which they found themselves. I'm just letting you know, like, even in the verse that talks about, that prophetically speaks of Jesus as the Prince of Peace, the only way, that, like, the environment in which that is spoken is out of oppression and out of darkness and out of, what was it, garments rolled in blood. Like that doesn't sound peaceful at all. And yet that is the very environment that was prophesied Jesus would come into. So then, if peace is not the default position, then where does peace come from? Like how does it get into our lives? Like, what do we have to do in order to experience this peace that we keep talking about during Christmas, even though very few of us actually live that out? Okay, so I have to do a real quick theology lesson here, all right? I know, it's like, just stick with me though. I promise I'll go fast if you stay with me, but don't go to sleep yet. Just, it's coming, just come around with me, I promise. It's gonna be great. So I want to give it just a quick theology lesson on the Trinity, real quick. Now, this is super high level. I can't even get in the weeds because y'all won't stick around long enough for that. So basically, in the idea of the Trinity, which, by the way, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. This is a theological understanding that we have for the three parts that we recognize as God, right? So there's God the Father, and I think we all sort of understand, like, when we say God, we usually mean, like, God the Father. But then there is God the Son, who is Jesus, right? I mean, he is God. Like, they are in essence, they are the same, right? But then there is also God the Holy Spirit, who we just usually don't understand, so we don't talk about it at all, right? So Christmas is our celebration of God the Father coming to earth in the flesh as Jesus, God the Son. All right? Go with me now. After Jesus was on earth, God sent his Holy Spirit to guide those who would put their faith in God the Father by believing that God the Son, Jesus, was in fact the Messiah that was sent to save the world. Right? So the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, would come to those who believe the Father, or wait, that would, make sure I'm saying this right, I want to make sure that I'm getting this straight here, would come to those who would put their faith in God the Father by believing that God the Son is in fact the Son of God, that he is the Savior that came for the sins of the world. Now then, when we submit to Jesus, God the Son, we are also, in that time and in that moment, we are also filled with God, the Holy Spirit. Okay, I know, like, stick around with me. I promise this is gonna be really great news here in just a minute. I know we got to get through the education here, but we're going to get there. When you submit your life to Jesus and you put your faith in God the Father, when you submit your life to Jesus, at that same time, you also get access to the God, the Holy Spirit, who is there to guide you and to give you a discernment, understanding, who's there to comfort you, who's there to provide words for you when you don't even know what to say. Ask me how I know the Holy Spirit is real. Because when I stand up here every day, I don't have any idea what I'm about to say to you. And somehow, the Holy Spirit makes a way in that. So when we submit to Jesus, we are also filled with God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us then in a new way of doing life. See, the natural way, the default position is not peace. The default position is really just what the Bible refers to as the desires of the flesh. In other words, it's all about selfishness, right? And so the natural fruit of doing things our way, It's actually, and this isn't going to be up on the screen necessarily, but if you want to look into it more, you can look at Galatians chapter 5, right? The way the Bible describes it is the natural way for us to do things our way, the default position there, are things like sexual immorality, idolatry, hatred, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, right? Dissensions, drunkenness, like all of these things. And these are all just the default position that we find ourselves in just by living life. But the natural fruit that comes from submitting to Jesus and submitting to God's Holy Spirit is totally different. See, that fruit is things like love and joy and peace. And things like patience and kindness and goodness and self-control, like these are the things. Now watch this. This is where it gets really important. Like, we're done with the education part. Like, now we're getting into real life stuff here. Our natural tendency is to go to all those things that are sucking peace out of our lives. But when we trust God the Father and we believe that Jesus the Son died on the cross, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be made brand new, then we get the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and that Holy Spirit naturally produces peace in our lives. Amen. Like, we are trying to manufacture something on our own while we're also trying to be selfish. We're trying to manufacture peace in our lives while we're trying to do things our own way, when if we would just submit ourselves to God, His Holy Spirit can only produce peace in our lives. God, like, watch this. This is what's really crazy. God's Holy Spirit doesn't know how to produce chaos in your life. God's Holy Spirit, this is nuts now, y'all need to get this. God's Holy Spirit does not know how to cause anxiety in your life. Like, I need you to understand this. Like, God's Holy Spirit does not know how to cause discord in your life, jealousy, any of those things. The natural state of the Holy Spirit is to create love and peace and joy in your life. But it only comes as we submit to God the Father, as we believe that Jesus, His Son, is in fact the Savior of the world that died on a cross to forgive us and to empower us, and that in that we get His Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, that will naturally produce those things in our lives. Now, our default position, just like Joseph and Mary, just like in Isaiah chapter 9, is frustration, anxiety, depression, and chaos, right? If this is our default position in life, it's going to show up at Christmas as well, y'all. Like, I'm just trying to tell you here, like if this is what's in there, like, all year long, then you put all that in a little stress incubator, and it's just going to blow up on top of everybody there, right? However, Jesus actually changes the reality of Christmas in our lives because God's Holy Spirit cannot produce those things. It would be unnatural for Him to do that, but it would be entirely natural for God's Holy Spirit to produce peace in our lives. All right, so what is this going to look like here? What would it look like for us to submit, to trust God, to believe that Jesus is our Savior, not just a Savior, but like for us, in order that as we receive the Holy Spirit by submitting to God through our faith in Jesus, how is it then that we can, what will it look like for us to be under the submission of God's Holy Spirit? Okay, so I got I got five things here I'm going to say, but I'm going to move through them real quick. I know you're like, oh, five things, Pastor. You usually do three things, and it takes a long time, right? I get it. It's all right. I got 1.1 scripture for each one, so take some notes, but get ready to go here, because we're about to sprint down through this thing here, okay? First of all, When the question is, what would it look like to be in submission to God's Holy Spirit? The first thing that we need to recognize is this going to be weird. Yes, come on, right, Kathy? Yes. I mean, not just you. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you're just the one saying amen. Anytime we live different, it's going to feel weird at first. Yes. Right? You don't have to be afraid of that. In fact, like, what I would encourage is to embrace that awkwardness, right? It's gonna be a little weird. We are changing what is naturally produced in our lives. I want you to get this here. It would be as if you worked at one job for 20, 30, 40, 100 years, right? And then all of a sudden you decide, you know what? I'm going to change careers and do a different job. And then when you get here, you expect it to feel like it did. No, it's going to be weird. You're going to be in different places. You're going to be around different people. You're going to be doing different things because it's different stuff. It's going to feel weird. Embrace it. Love it. Enjoy it. Because it comes with all the fruit that God's Holy Spirit provides as well. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here, right? This is a brand new life. Like following Jesus, oh, hear me today. This is the good news that you need to get today. Following Jesus is not a way to make your life better. Following Jesus is a way to get a new life. Like who you used to be, right, is not, we don't want a better version of that. What we want is a brand new you, right? We don't want that 2.0. Like, that is messed up. That's got bugs and viruses and all kinds of stuff. We just need to burn that. Like, we need a brand new us. We need to rewrite the whole program. That is what Jesus is offering to you. So if you are here today just looking for a way to be just a little bit better, that's not what Jesus offers. And when you live a brand new life in submission to Jesus, it's going to be weird. It's going to feel a little awkward at first. But you know what? Like, it's also, you know what else is going to feel weird? Having peace in your life. Like, not having that feeling in your gut all the time. Like, you don't know what's going to happen when you turn the next corner. Like, it'll feel weird that that's not there anymore either. Like, it'll feel weird that you have joy and a smile on your face. It'll feel weird that people want to be around you instead of avoiding you anymore. Like, that'll be kind of weird. But you know what'll be awesome? Like, being able to live in every blessing and favor that God has for you through the empowerment of his Holy Spirit. Like, it's going to be weird. Just go with it. Number two. It's going to look like creating space for God's Holy Spirit to guide us, right? Here's what I mean by that. The flesh, like doing the things that like we selfishly want to do, that comes very quickly, right? And I can prove it because all of you have had a conversation with that really frustrating person in your life. Don't look right now. Don't make eye contact with anybody right now, right? Why are my children looking at me? You've had that conversation with that really frustrating person in your life, and when they say just the wrong thing, like, that stuff comes out of your mouth, and it's like an out-of-body experience, right? Like, that stuff just comes out. You didn't even know it was coming, and then all of a sudden, it's out there, and like, here we are, right? Like, flesh moves fast. It's because, and here's what you need to recognize, because it's our default position, it happens instinctively. That's part of the flesh. That's part of the reason we don't want to try to make that better. We need to get rid of the flesh in order that we might be able to live in the Spirit. So the flesh is fast, but the Holy Spirit can be slow. So what we have to do is we have to create space for God's Holy Spirit to guide us. That might look like when we find ourselves in a stressful situation, that might look like just stopping long enough to take a deep breath, right? That might look like, and I know this sounds really juvenile, but that might look like literally counting to 10 and sometimes out loud, right? It might look like taking a moment just to recite a verse that you have memorized that is encouraging to you and remind you of the power of God in your life. It might look like you taking a moment just to stop and pray. and say, Lord, I need you to do something before I remove their face, right? Like, you've been there. I've been there. I don't know if you've been there or not, right? But when we leave that space, what you'll find is that God's Holy Spirit, when we create that space there, God's Holy Spirit will begin to show you, like, oh, no, here's what we're going to do. Flesh is fast. Flesh will do before you even know it's done. But if you can create some space, the Holy Spirit will come in there like, no, 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 I got another way. Check this out. It's awesome. And it'll lead to peace and joy and love, right? It'll be weird, but it'll be really awesome as well. James chapter 1, verse 19, 20 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. We got to create space for God's Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Number three is just be thankful. Watch this now. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, right? You need to recognize, like, that word's in the Bible. Trinity is not in the Bible. Anxiety is, right? Watch this. Wrong verse. There you go. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Like, again, I need you to hear this here. Like in the midst of your anxiety, if you can find a way to be thankful, God will provide for you not only just peace in your life, but peace that will guard your heart. Yes. Amen. So that when you feel attacked by others, you don't have to let that be your reality. Jesus can actually change your reality. As you go to God in prayer with thanksgiving, he will provide for you the peace that actually guards your heart from the people that are trying to tear you up. Isn't that amazing? That the way you feel and the way you experience life is not based on what other people around you are doing. The way you feel and the way you experience life can absolutely be determined by simply submitting to a relationship with Jesus and allowing God's Holy Spirit to produce what is natural for God's Holy Spirit to produce. That's good news today. I need to keep on going here, though. Number four. Talk to a Jesus person about whatever's making you anxious, all right? We need to be intentional to talk about the good, talk about the bad, talk about the victories, talk about the setbacks, talk about steps you might need to take forward, but we ought not do this alone. We were not designed to do this alone, right? So we have wonderful partnerships with ministries like Shield Bearers, which is an awesome Christian counseling network that if you've not gotten connected with them yet, like, I really want to encourage it. They're really, really awesome. Offices everywhere. It's a whole network of counselors. So whatever it is that you are specifically, like, struggling with, they have a counselor that can meet that need, right? And it's really, really awesome. But maybe it's not even meeting with a counselor. Maybe it's just connecting with a community group. And, like, being in a place where you can process God's word with people in just a real way. You can be real and you can hear other people being real about stuff that they're working through or having troubles with and all this kind of stuff, right? Maybe it's a matter of just connecting with one person that might be able to invest in your life a little bit more. Maybe there's somebody that you respect, that you look up to, maybe even that's sitting around you right now, that you know, like I know I need to take some steps with Jesus, and I know, like, doing it by myself is not working. And maybe there's that one person that you've been able to build a relationship with that you can just go to and say, hey, like, can we just get together sometime and talk about what it would look like to take more steps toward Jesus, right? That would be incredible. However you do it, whether it's through a counselor, a community group, through a disciple maker, whatever that might be, we can't do it alone. We got to connect with other people here. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 says, if anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. In all of this, what we are learning is that when we get together and actually share our stuff with one another, God is able to do powerful and miraculous things in that. But the reality is that when we isolate, the devil usually speaks louder than anything else. So if we can get around others, it's really helpful. Last thing then, number five. What does it look like to really submit to God's Holy Spirit? At the end of the day, what it really looks like is trust, right? You're either going to trust God or you're going to trust yourself. You're either going to trust the Bible or you're going to trust what your friends say. You're either going to trust Jesus or you're going to trust your college professor. You're either going to trust God's Holy Spirit or you're going to trust the government. You're either going to trust the pastor or you're going to trust social media. Like, you are choosing every day who it is you trust. And maybe you don't trust anybody. Maybe the only person you ever trust is you. And maybe you don't even trust yourself very much, right? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. The reality of Christmas will be determined by who you trust. At the end of the day, that's really it. The reality of Christmas will be determined by who you trust. The anxiety that you feel on a day-to-day basis will come down to who and how you trust. And how it is that you process those things with God. A few questions I want to leave you with then. And the first is, I think it's important for all of us to think through, like, what is really causing the most anxiety in our lives, right? Maybe it's not even the holidays, right? Maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's just we recognize that there's some sin in our lives that we know, like, it's not of God. And maybe we've been sitting in that long enough that we realize, you know what, like, this is not the life that he has for me, right? What is it that's causing anxiety? What is that default position that you find yourself in right now? And then the question we really need to wrestle with is, do you want to trust Jesus to handle the situations better than you? See, the one thing that we know, the one true fact of life that I know for myself is that when I'm in control, it goes really bad.
Yeah, that's right.
So even if Jesus is a terrible option, it's not worse than me. You know what I'm saying? Now hear me. Jesus is not a terrible option. Don't hear what I'm not saying, right? Please. But I do know that me taking care of myself and going after my own selfishness, it just ends badly. Like every time. Every time. I've proved it. You probably have too, right? So like, do you really want to trust Jesus to handle the anxious situations in which you find yourself better than you? And then if you do, which I really hope you do, how are you going to submit to God's Holy Spirit? Like, what is it that you're going to do? Like, maybe what you need to do in terms of submitting to God's Holy Spirit is first just put your faith in God through a relationship with Jesus. Maybe today's the day that you recognize, you know what, like, I've never really understood that I need a Savior. Like, I know that I have sin in my life, but I've not really recognized I need to do something about that. Like, Jesus died on the cross so that you could be set free from that, not just to make you better, but to make you brand new. Maybe today's the day that you just say, you know what, I'm going to submit to Jesus with my whole life. I'm going to trust the Lord, even as it says there in Proverbs 3. I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart. I'm going to trust him with it. And when I do, God's Holy Spirit is going to show up in my life, and I'm going to see the evidence of that Spirit in my life. I hope and I trust that God is speaking in your life and that you are ready even today to do something with what God's Holy Spirit is speaking. Pray with me. God, I just thank you so much for your presence here with us today. I thank you, Lord, for your word, and I thank you for the power of your word. God, I just ask in the name of Jesus that if there's anybody here that has not yet put their trust in you, but I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move in such a way that they would just decide to say yes. Help us to have a yes today, Lord. God, we ask, Father, that you would forgive us of all the ways that we've made it about us. And help us, Lord, even now, to find ways in which we can put our trust in you. Change the reality of our lives. That we would not go back to the default of anxiety and turmoil. But God, that we would truly find our peace in you. Have your way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.